Gazing across the river Ganges, Guha, the hunter king, noticed unusual commotion on the bank opposite. A great army had encamped there. He pointed it to his kinsman standing by his side and said, "Who is this? And why has he come here with a large army, apparently to cross the river?" "The flag suggests that it is Kaikeyi's son, Bharat, and his army." "Yes, I see the flag flying on the top of the chariot, and I can recognize the tree painted on it. That is the flag of the king of Ayodhya. Is not Ram's enemy, Bharat, the king of Ayodhya today? Having secured the kingdom unjustly through his mother Kaikeyi, it looks as though he is pursuing Ram here to slay him. Get together our warriors and kinsmen and friends. Let them stand ready on this bank. Gather all the boats and fill them with armed men ready for battle. Let us wait and see. If the newcomers are well disposed towards Ram, we shall help them cross the river and come over to this side. But if their intention is hostile, we shall prevent them." And so, having made all preparations, Guha, in accordance with rules of courtesy, took some presents, got into a boat, and went to meet Bharat. On the other bank, at the same time, Sumantra was telling Bharat, "Look, Guha, the hunter king, devoted friend of Ram, has come with his people to welcome us. He is the ruler of this region. He and his kinsmen are well acquainted with every nook and corner of this forest. They could tell us where Ram is to be found and lead us safely and swiftly to the place." Meanwhile, Guha crossed the stream and, approaching Bharat, bowed and said, "Though we have been taken by surprise by your unexpected visit, still, all that is mine here you may consider as your own and command me. I consider it an honor to be able to welcome and entertain you and your army." Bharat answered, "It is very kind of you, O friend of my brother, to offer hospitality to such a large army. I wish to proceed to the hermitage of Bhardwaj. We do not know the way, and we also need to cross this great river." Guha bowed before him with clasped hands and said politely, "My lord, my servants and myself are ready to go with you and act as guides. But you must excuse me for expressing a doubt, which occurs to me on seeing this large army you have brought. Surely you have no intentions hostile to Ram?" Pained by these words, and from a heart clear and pure as the summer sky, Bharat said, "Alas, what greater shame can come to me than this, that men who love Ram should fear and suspect me? Have no misgivings, Guha. Ram is my father now, for he has taken the place of my lost father. I have come here to beg of him to return to Ayodhya. I swear I have no other purpose in my mind." Guha rejoiced to see in Bharat's face his intense love for Ram and his grief at what had happened. He said, "My lord, who in the world can equal you in sacrifice? Who but you would renounce such wealth and power, coming to him unsought? Your glory will shine forever." The hunter king supplied Bharat's army with all it needed. The hosts and guests retired for the night. The meeting with Guha only increased Bharat's sorrow. Bharat was endowed with a heart of utter innocence. He sighed and said, "Alas, that it should come to this," and rolled sleepless on the ground. His whole body burned with thoughts of the infamy that had come as a cloud over him, his father's death, and his parting from Ram. Guha spoke words of comfort and tried to console him. Bharat questioned, "What food did Ram take when he was here? Where did he sit? And where did he sleep? What did he say? And tell me, what did he do?" Guha answered every question lovingly and pointed to the spot where Ram had slept. And when he was asked, "Where did Lakshman sleep?" he replied. Lakshman said, "When Ram and Sita lie stretched on the bare earth, how can I sleep?" And he shed tears, and like me, stood on guard the whole night, bow in hand. As Bharat pictured this scene, his grief became unendurable. He saw the spot where Ram and Sita had slept that night, and pointed it to the weeping queens. Asked what Ram ate, Guha answered, "My lord, they fasted that night. Lakshman brought some water and Ram drank of it, and then handed it back to Lakshman to drink. The food I brought was returned, untasted." The following morning, they matted their locks and walked into the forest. Bharat had found some relief from sorrow in his resolve to seek out Ram and persuade him to return. But his talk with Guha and the sights he saw brought it back in full flood. He lamented, "For my sake, Ram, you slept on the grass. I have seen the spot, and I still live. And they want me to wear a crown on top of all this. Well, I shall somehow take Ram back and seat him on the throne. If he wants his vow fulfilled, I shall replace him in the forest for 14 years. He will agree to this arrangement, as it is only right and proper." Thus he calmed himself. Early next morning, Bharat woke up Satrughan. "What? Are you still sleeping? The day has already dawned. The army has to cross the river. We should send quickly for Guha and arrange for the journey." Satrughan answered, "I am not asleep, brother. Like you, I spent the whole night thinking of Ram." While they were speaking, Guha arrived, and after courteous greetings, announced that he had a fleet of many boats ready. All the baggage and the whole army were put on boats. The loaded vessels crossed the great river. The transport across raised a joyous clamor like some great festival. The people did not see the sorrow in Bharat's heart, for they had concluded, even when Bharat set out, that Ram would surely return. They went forward rejoicing that soon Ram would be in their midst as crown king, and all their recent sorrows would pass like a bad dream. When the whole army had crossed the river, Bharat followed it in a boat specially fitted up for him. Finally, they reached the ashram of Bharadwaj. Bharat and his retinue went on towards Bharadwaj's ashram. When they reached the Prayag wood, they saw at a distance a beautiful grove with a cottage in its midst. Learning that this was Bharadwaj's ashram, Bharat left his retinue behind and, accompanied only by Vasishta and a few other elders, walked towards it with due humility. Divesting himself of his silk garments and his weapons, and accompanied only by the ministers, he went on foot behind Vasishta. A little further on, he left behind even the ministers, and he and Vasishta went forward alone. When Bharadwaj saw Vasishta, he rose from his seat and went to meet the illustrious visitor, and bade his disciples to bring the customary water to wash the feet of the guests. Bharat offered humble salutations to Bharadwaj. Learning who he was, the sage received him with the respect due to a king, and made inquiries concerning his welfare. He thoughtfully refrained from making any mention of the sad fate of Dasarath. Bharadwaj asked Bharat, "Why did you leave your kingly duties and come over here? Should you not stay in Ayodhya?" Listening to his young wife, Dasarath ordered Ram to live for 14 years in the forest, and the prince accordingly left the city with his brother and Sita. Do you feel that even now the way is not clear for your rule? And have you come to complete what Dasarath began and make assurance doubly sure? Hearing these words, Bharat wept. The tears gushed and he could hardly speak. Death, he said, would be better than such a life as this. Do you doubt me, master? Please do not blame me for what was done by my mother in my absence without my knowledge or consent. I have come now to do my utmost to persuade Ram to go back with me to Ayodhya and there to be crowned king. And it is my purpose to be his humble slave all my life. I have come here to ask you where Ram dwells, to go and beg of him to return home. And me, you suspect. Bharadwaj said, Bharat, I know your real nature. You are a scion of the race of Raghu. I questioned you because I wish to draw out a revelation of your affection and loyalty, and thereby establish and spread your glory. Do not grieve. The prince is dwelling on Chitrakoot Hill. Stay here today. Tomorrow you and your ministers can go there. You will please me by accepting hospitality for a day in my ashram. Bharat said, My lord, your wishes and words of affection are a feast to me. What more is required? Bharadwaj smiled because he could see that Bharat was unwilling to cast the burden of feeding an army on a poor ascetic. He said, I am bound to entertain you in a manner worthy of your status and goodness. Why have you left behind your army and retinue? Bharat answered, I follow the rule that one should not approach a sage's dwelling with a retinue. There is a big crowd following me. It would be a great disturbance to you if they all came here. The rishi replied, Nothing of the sort. Order them all to come up. And so Bharat ordered. Bharadwaj went to the sacrificial fire and, uttering holy prayers, sipped water three times and called on the demigods Vishvakarma, Maya, Yama, Varun, Kubera, Agni, and other celestial beings, and ordered them to produce a great feast for Bharat and his followers. This they did lavishly. Everyone had ample accommodation. Sandal paste, flowers, food and drink, music, and dance by divine performers were all provided. Bharadwaj's feast was more sumptuous than that given by great kings to one another. Dwellings and vehicles and servants came suddenly into being. The guests forgot themselves in the feast. They ate fully and soon fell fast asleep. The following morning, Bharadwaj said to Bharat, At a distance of 22 miles from here runs the river Mandakini. On its banks is an unpeopled forest, with Chitrakoot Hill to its south. On the slope of the hill, in a hut, your brothers and Sita are dwelling. And he explained in detail the way they should follow. The three queens were presented to receive the sage's blessings. This is Queen Kausalya, said Bharat. The mother of Ram. And here, to her right, and supporting her, stands the mother of Lakshman and Satrughan, sorrow-stricken and limp like a creeper stricken by summer winds. And here is my mother, the cause of all of our sorrow. The queens prostrated before the sage. Do not judge your mother harshly, said Bharadwaj, casting his gentle eyes on the sorrowing Kaikeyi. All that has happened has happened for the good of the world. Bharat and his great retinue took the forest path as directed by Bharadwaj. They saw from afar the Chitrakoot Hill, and as they proceeded eagerly, A column of smoke indicated the spot where the prince's dwelling was. Shouts of joy then arose from the crowd. Leaving his following behind, Bharat went forward, accompanied only by Sumantra and Vasishtha.